Shalom, everybody. Shalom. I hope everybody's tuning in. This is Rishon Messianic Bible College. It is a Bible college geared toward learning the Bible, Hebrew, reading, writing, and speaking the language of Hebrew. We have something that Pastor Ben and I will be able to put together because I was offered the book. To begin a biblical Hebrew study and so that you guys can have a weekly assignment to do while you're getting ready for the test, because I am also putting the test together for this week. So if you feel you're not getting enough work, don't worry. You'll be swimming in it in about a couple days here. So praise God. So, all right, we are going to start our day off, and we're going to be finishing up Joseph the movie. I think this is part two, because there are some other things that we need to learn about Joseph, and I'm so excited. I just want to pray and get started. So let's get started here. I'm going to say the Lord's Prayer, and then we're going to get started. All right. Avanu Shaba Shabaim Yit Kadeshimcha Tavo Melchutech Yi Aserot Sanecha Bearet Ke Ashene Asabe Shamaim Tenlano Hayom Lechum Hukenu Uselaglanu et Ashmetenu Ke Asher Solechem Anachnu Le Asher Ashmelanu Vial Tevienu Lede Masa Kiim Hatzilanu Min Hara Kilacha hamamlaka vehagivra vehatif eret leolame leolamim. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hakol havarim, all my friends. And check this out. I hope you guys watched last night's Bible study, because I feel like we're closing down. I'm hoping we got about a month of school left, but I'm going to keep bringing it to you like the Lord said, occupy till it comes. So, you know, we're going to occupy till he comes. But I feel like we have about a month or so left. And I'm really ready for the Lord to get his people out of here and start the vacuuming process of earth. Because this place needs a cleanup, and it needs it bad. Just from selfish people to many evil things that are going on in the world. But let's get to the study, to the Bible study for today, because we left out with Joseph the movie, and I hope you learned some very valuable things about Joseph. So I'm just going to review a little bit, and then we're going to stop where we ended up in the last class, so that we will know exactly where we're at on today's study. Now, in the book of Joseph, we looked at Joseph being a movie, just like we looked at Abraham being the movie. Okay? So we understanding that Joseph is playing the role of Jesus Christ in this movie. And Joseph and his brothers are playing maybe the Pharisees or the Jewish nation, but they definitely are rejecting him. And the typology of his Rachel and all of the things that could pertain to the story of Joseph in the book of Genesis chapter 35. Joseph's brothers hated him. We went over that. They rejected him. They even attempted to kill him. But then, of course, Judah decided it'd be better to sell him for 20 pieces of silver instead of killing him. And so, like Judas and Judah, they both sold their brothers for silver, which is blood money. So whenever you read about silver in the Bible, remember silver is a metal that is that talks about blood. Okay. Also, as we read through, we read about Joseph being innocent, being arrested, but being innocent. Being in prison with two other criminals, just like Jesus was on the cross with two other criminals. One of the criminals that he was in prison with was released and freed and went back to work in the kingdom. And that was the cupbearer, because He was in charge of the wine because the wine represents the blood and the blood brings life. And then the other one was the bread, the baker who was responsible for the bread. And we know that bread must be broken because Jesus' body was broken for us. So the baker did not have a very good ending because the body had to be broken. And that what it was representing when it came to the name when it comes to Jesus and that typology. You guys are learning a lot about typologies, but they're all through the Bible. You start from Genesis. As a matter of fact, our next message, our next lesson on Genesis is going to be absolutely incredible that you guys will find out just on the word better sheet in Hebrew. Okay, so we found out that so Joseph goes into Egypt and he's working and he gets arrested. And God gave Joseph to Egypt because Joseph, the name means what? God will add. That's going to be on your test someday, so you need to know that. All right, because God will add. That means God gave Joseph to Egypt, not just because his brothers rejected him. Joseph was given to Egypt for a purpose because God wanted to multiply his people. And so in the land of Egypt, the Hebrews did multiply. Now, you have to understand something about the word Hebrew, because the Hebrews come from a word called Eber, which is one of the sons in Genesis chapter 10. And the word Hebrew means to cross over. OK, so God is setting a people up because he has a bigger plan. And the bigger plan was what? God needed a specific group of people to cross over from heaven to earth. And so through the Hebrews, God was going to manifest a crossover. So the Hebrew people are very important. And God in this story is beginning this culture of people that he plans on making a crossover at some time. But while he's telling the story of Joseph, he's letting you know that his ultimate plan is Yeshua, Jesus Christ. Now, as we get to page 11 in our books, and I hope you have your book with you, as we get to page 11 in our books, it is the beginning of the famine. Now, understand the famine, okay? We talked about the famine last night. We talked about the famine before. The famine is representing the 7 years of tribulation. What does God do, or what is Jesus Christ going to do at the end of the tribulation? He's going to come back, and he's going to rescue the Jews. Is he going to punish them for putting him on the cross? No. We learned that through the typology of the Nahash last night, the serpent. Because Saul said, nobody's going to be put to death, you know, because when Christ comes back, he's not coming back to judge the Hebrews. He's coming back because it's in a time of atonement. It's the time to let them know that everything is fine and that he has gone back up for the purpose of atoning for their sins. The same with Moses. When he came back down up from the mountain, his face is shining, and they're looking at him, and they begin to run, and he tells them to come back. He's only come to give them a new covenant and a new relationship with God. So the same thing here with Joseph, because the famine has just started, and the famine is going to last for 7 years. Of course, we went over last night, during the famine, Joseph is a Jewish guy. He's sent in the palace. He's in the palace, and he has two brand new sons named Manasseh and Ephraim. And so Joseph is multiplying the Hebrew people already. And now he's, you know, for this 7 years, him and his beautiful Gentile bride are living in the palace. And you guess who's living outside of the palace? His brothers, the Hebrew people, are all outside of the palace with all of the other Gentile nations. And so it is a perfect typology of the Gentile bride in heaven while the Gentile nations are suffering, and the Jewish people are also caught up in the same mess. You got a question, Pastor Ben?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
They're asking, can you recommend a good book on Bible patterns?
The best book is called, did I bring it with me? It's called On the Eve of Adam. And it's by J.R. Church. Okay, that is, if you want to read a book that's going to teach you the Old Testament and the typologies and many beautiful things, it's by our wonderful brother who has gone on into heaven, who I consider one of my Bible study teachers. I went to the school of Chuck Missler and J.R. Church. And I finished up with a master at Mark Belts. So those are my Bible teachers. Other than that, you know, I don't have a formal theological. I went to University of Colorado, but it was not for to study anything biblical. So anyway, that's a good book, On the Eve of Adam by J.R. Church. And now, so as we're here on page 11, it's the beginning of the famine, and we're going to start reading, I believe, in Genesis chapter 41 and verse 57. And it says, now listen what it says. And all the world came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe where? Everywhere. Okay? It starts by saying, and all the world. So who has been affected by this 7-year famine? The whole world. Now, let me read the warning that God gives us in Luke chapter 34, because he's telling you something else is coming and is going to affect the whole world. And you want to make sure that you're a bride inside of the palace when this happens. Okay. And in Luke chapter 21, verse 34, it says, be careful or your heart will be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the anxieties of life. Okay. You don't drink. You don't do any carousing anymore. You've gotten wiser. And now, but it says also, don't let the anxieties of life keep you from this beautiful moment of escaping the famine. You okay? So, the anxieties of life, don't let that be one of the things that causes you. Because sometimes, you know, between work and kids and relationships, you can forget that Jesus is still the most important thing. And that is what you need to covet and protect. So, he says, and it says, and the anxieties of life. And that day will close on you unexpectedly or suddenly like a trap. For it will come on all those who live on the face of the whole earth. You see that? The same as the famine in Joseph's time. The whole world. So now, if you don't escape, he says something's coming that's going to affect everybody in the whole entire earth. And it says, so be careful, be always on watch, and pray that you may be able to escape all that is about to happen. And it's about to happen. And that you may be able to stand before the Son of God. I want to be on the cloud with the rest of the family of God, of born-again believers who have accepted Yeshua. I want to be standing on the cloud, able to stand before the Son of Man. I don't want to let the anxieties of life make me forget that Jesus Christ is the most important thing. So understand, this famine is going to come on the whole world, okay? And now, the 10 brothers of Joseph. So now the 10 brothers of Joseph, they say, you know, hey, we're starving. The famine is crazy here. And so they go down. It says the brothers of Joseph went down to Egypt so that they could buy grain. OK. And it says, although Joseph recognized his brothers, they did not recognize him. Genesis 42:9. Then he remembered his dream about them and said to them, "You are spies. You have come to see where our land is unprotected." So the brothers begin to defend themselves and say, "We're not spies. We just came to buy food." But Joseph knows who they are. So he begins to ask them questions. "Do you have any brothers? Okay, go back and bring your younger brother with you, and then I'll give you the food." And he says, just to make sure you're not lying, I'm going to... So their journey is going to be for 3 days. Okay, so because on the third day, they're going to return back. But this is what happens. He says, just so that, you know, you'll stay honest, I'm going to keep Simeon with me. So he locks Simeon up in a prison, okay? And he sends the other 9 brothers back to their father and says, when you come back, make sure you bring Benjamin with you. Okay, now, inatalo mevin ivrit, if you don't understand Hebrew, you won't care about the name Simeon. But if you speak Hebrew, I suggest that when you read someone's name, see what their name means, because it's going to tell what God is doing. So the word Simeon means hearing. Now, if Pastor Ben starts talking to me, or if I'm sitting here and I'm talking to you and you can't hear, you're not going to understand anything that I say. So this is now another typology, because the people of the Jews their understanding is being taken away from them until the third day. On the journey back, they're going back to get the brother and to bring them back so that they can know that they're not lying. But while on this journey, on this 2-day journey home, or day and a half journey there, then coming back, they don't have Simeon. And Simeon means hearing. So now, let's talk about another scenario where the Jews were for 3 days were stripped of their understanding and hearing. Okay. Mary and Joseph decide, hey, or they don't decide. They have to go to, they have to go and get for the census. So they had to. So they leave and they take Jesus with them, and they go on this journey because I think they were counting all of the people in the land, right? So they leave and they have Jesus with them. They go, they take care of business. Okay. Then they say, okay, well, now it's time to journey back to Nazareth. So they're on their way back, and it says the first day they did not realize that Jesus was not with them.
Right.
On the second day, they still did not realize that Jesus was not with them. So they begin to ask amongst each other, where is Yeshua? Where's Yeshua? And then they say, oh, let's go back. So when they get back on the third day, they find Yeshua in the temple teaching the Pharisees and the Sadducees the scriptures. And they asked him, we were worried about you. Where have you been? He says, didn't you know that I'd be in my father's house? So listen, those 3 days that they were gone without Yeshua, they didn't know they didn't have God with them. If you go talk to the Jews, or you go to an Orthodox and you say, why are you guys meeting here? And they say, because we love God. And you say, yeah, but you don't even believe in God. You don't have God with you. And they'll say, we're the people of God. What are you talking about? And you would have to say, no, the covenant that God offers now is through Yeshua. And then, of course, they beat you up and throw you out. But you have to understand that they believe that they have God with them, but until they repent, right, they won't have God with them. Okay, so That means that they're blind to the fact that they don't have God with them.
Yeah.
Now, I want us to look at the book of Isaiah. And we'll read that later toward the end of this, but I want us to go to the book of Isaiah, and I want you to go to chapter 6. Okay? If you have your Bibles with you. Because if you don't understand this, you may be one of those people that just can't stand the Jews because they killed Jesus. And boy, those people, those Jesus rejecting Jews, oh, I can't stand them. They hate our Savior. Listen, you have to understand what God is doing. The Bible says, judge nothing before its time. You know why? You may not understand what God is doing. His thinking is a little higher than ours. Okay? So this is what God is doing. But many Christians bypass this and don't understand it. So they begin who's the guy who rebelled against the Martin? He rebelled against Martin Luther. He rebelled against the Catholic Church. So then he thought, I've rebelled against the false church. I'm a true Christian now. Now I'm going to go witness to the Jews. And then when the Jews rejected Martin Luther, they said he began to be angry at them and say horrible things about the Jews. But he didn't read Isaiah chapter 6. So here's Isaiah chapter 6. And let me start. This is so good. I could start at the top, but I know. We'll start at verse 8. Okay? It says, then I heard the Lord. Okay? I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send? And who will go for us? And it says, and I said, here I am, send me. And he said, God said, go and tell these people, the Jewish people, be ever hearing, but never understanding. Be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Make the heart of this people callous. Make their ears dull. Take away their hearing. Close their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and accept Jesus Christ, the Messiah, when he comes. And then the world would be lost forever. Do you understand? But that's not what the scripture says, right? So it says, otherwise, they might see with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their heart and turn and be healed. I thought God was into the getting people turned and being healed business. Not with the Jews. Not at this time. They are doing a job for all of mankind. Okay? For God so loved the world that he gave his son, why? So that he can add to just the Jewish people? No. Remember, as we get into the story of Joseph, we're going to read about what happened when they returned, okay? So, and then he says, listen to this. He says, then I said, for how long, O Lord? He answered, right? And he says, until the cities lie in ruin and without inhabitants, until the houses are left deserted and the fields ruined and ravaged, until the Lord has sent everyone far away and the land is utterly forsaken, and though a tenth remain in the land, it will again be laid waste. But the timbereth, whatever that is, and the oak, the trees and the oak and the leaves and the stumps they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. So he says, I am going to keep a remnant, but they're going to lack understanding for a long time, because in the middle of the tribulation, somebody gets released.
Oh, yes.
And they go to Jerusalem, this beast, and he kills the two witnesses, and he sits in the temple, and Jesus tells the Jews, when you see the abomination of desolation, you get out of Israel.
Yeah.
And God says, and I'm going to provide a protection for you. Okay, now when they see this, they'll begin that thing that's over their eyes. Those plugs that are in their ear will begin to fall off, and they're going to realize Yeshua is our Savior, and they're going to call out, because now, because they don't want to worship a false God sitting in the Holy of Holies, proclaiming himself to be God, and they take off and run. The land is now empty, but because they don't want to do that, the beast caused all nations to come to war against Israel,
yeah,
and to destroy them. And so every nation comes now, and they want to destroy the nation of Israel. Okay? And the Jews see these planes coming from every nation, China, America. They said every nation is going to turn against them. And they say, Baruch Abba B'Shem Adonai. They say, come, Lord Yeshua, you are welcome. Come and rescue. The same thing that they were saying when they were waving the palm breeze. You are our king. Come and rescue us now. Okay, because Hosanna doesn't mean, it's not Jesus' name. The song Hosanna means come and rescue now.
That's not his name.
No. It's a great song, but Hosanna means to come and rescue now. Okay. So they're singing, Hosanna, Hosanna in the highest. They're singing, come and rescue us now. Baruch Abim Bashem Adonai. And Yeshua leaves Zion. And he comes and the sword comes out of his mouth and he burns them up with the breath of his mouth. And he lands on the earth. Guess who's behind him in white horses?
Yes.
That old Gentile bride. Okay. She's riding behind, because now it's time to come back with Yeshua, like Moses took his bride with him to come back and to rescue,
yes,
the nation. Okay? Now, understanding that, we're going to continue to read the story of Joseph. Okay? Because Joseph is there for a reason, and we're going to find out why Joseph is here. Let me make sure that I mark this in my Bible, because we're going to read it from the Word, because we're going to need to read a little bit more. Okay, Manukana, are you ready? Here we go. Atamanukanim. Here we are. So now we're in 11, and we're in Genesis chapter 42, but we're on page 11. And Genesis 42:9 says, then he remembered his dream about them and said to them, you are spies. Now, remember, he knows who his brothers are. They don't know who he is. But they're there doing what? Bowing down to Joseph. So it says Joseph remembered his dream and said, okay, now I understand. You guys are spies. So they say, no, we're not spies. In 42:24, the next scripture, he says, he turned away from them and began to weep, but then came back and spoke to them again. He had Simeon taken away from them and bound before their eyes. And Simeon means hearing, okay? In chapter 43, verse 23, it says, it's all right, he said. Don't be afraid. Okay, now that means we got to go to 43. We got to go to Genesis chapter 43 so we understand this better. Genesis chapter 43, because you can't put everything in a book, in that book. Okay, 43. And we're going to be, let's see here. Let's start here. Are we at 24? Okay. Let's start in 43, verse 24. Okay. Okay. And it says, in 23. He says, "It's all right," he said. "Don't be afraid. Your God, the God of your fathers, has given you treasure in your sack. I received your silver." Then he brought Simeon out to them. Okay, so now they've returned. He brings Simeon out to them. So now they're about to get their understanding back. Okay, and he says the steward took the men into Joseph's house and gave them water. Okay, to wash their feet and provided fodder for their donkeys, and they prepared their gifts for Joseph's arrival at noon, because they had heard that they were to eat there. Okay, so when they return, when they give them back their brother, and Joseph is even preparing a dinner for them. Okay, and it says when Joseph came out, they presented to him the gift they had brought into the house, and they bowed down before him to the ground. And he asked them how they were, and then he said, "How is your aged father?" He says, "You told me about. Is he still living?" Because they still don't know who he is, right? They replied, "Your servant, our father, is still alive and well." And they bowed low to pay him honor. And he looked about and saw his brother Benjamin and his own mother's son. And he asked, "Is this your youngest brother, the one you told me about?" And he said, "God be gracious to you, my son." Deeply moved at the sight of his brother, Joseph hurried out and looked for a place to weep. He went into the private room and wept there. After he had washed his face, he came out controlling himself and said, "Serve the food." They served him. They served him by himself and the brothers by themselves, and the Egyptians who ate with him by themselves, because the Egyptians could not eat with Hebrews. Wow. "For that is detestable to the Egyptians." Wow. The men, I got so many messages. Pastor, scriptures is just full of messages. I almost went into African slavery there, because we couldn't eat in some restaurants either, remember?
Right.
But stay focused. Say with me, Mishael, Pastor Sandy, stay focused, okay? So now, it says the men had been seated before him in the order of their age, and the firstborn and the youngest. Okay, I want to get past that. It says Benjamin's portion was five times as much as everyone else. So they feasted and drank freely with him. Okay, now everybody's up there. They stacked Benjamin's plate up. Okay, now here we are. It says, as morning dawned, in chapter 44, I'm reading verse 3. As morning dawned, the men were sent on their way with the donkey, and they had gone far from the city, when Joseph said to his steward, "Go after these men at once, and when you catch up with them, say to them, 'Why have you repaid good with evil?'" Oh, this is a whole nother part of the story. Anyway, okay, let me get to Okay, let's go to chapter 45. I'm sorry. Let's go to chapter 45. We're going to be in verse 1. Now, all the brothers are there, and it says, then now Joseph, when he cried, because he knows that his brothers are now, they understand, he understands that, you know, his brother is alive and his father is still alive. And it says, then in 45, it says, then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants. And he cried out, have everyone leave my presence. So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and the Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brother, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive, still living? But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Now, when Jesus returns, you think that the Jewish nations are going to be terrified, especially when they see is Yeshua is the same guy we crucified. Okay? Now they're saying when you find out, they said they were terrified because now they know we're goner. Then Joseph said to his brother, come close to me. When they had done so, he said, I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. You hear that? For 2 years now, there has been a famine in the land, and for the next 5 years, there will not be any plowing or reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So God sent Joseph for the purpose of saving many people all around the world. Think about it. If Joseph doesn't go to Egypt, who interprets the king's dream? No one. So that means the famine destroys the whole world. Because what? Because God did not send his son. Listen, without Joseph, the whole world would have died. Without Yeshua, the whole world would die. But God sent Yeshua. Why? Because like Joseph, he's going to add to himself. He's not going to just have one son. He's going to have many sons of God. Okay, many sons of God. And now we are all called the Benahai Elohim, the 153 fish that are pulled up. And we are called the Benahai Elohim, and we are called that because we are now become part of God's family. Okay? Now, many people don't understand. Like whenever I'm witnessing to a Jewish person about Yeshua, if they don't get angry right away, if they get angry, I don't push it.
Right.
Because they can get ugly. I know I got my friend, the rabbi, he got pretty ugly. I had to say, look, I won't talk about Yeshua around you no more if you don't call him bad names. Because I forgot about Isaiah 6:10, which says God blinded them.
Right.
So that means if God don't release his blindness, I could sit there and try to explain to him Jesus as much as I want, and he's going to probably get irate, you know?
Right.
So my job was not to force that, but every now and then you'll meet a Jewish person that wants to know, and you can teach them, and they maybe they'll become a Messianic Jew. I mean, 3,000 Jews got saved in Acts.
That's true.
Okay? Now, in the book of Romans, you'll begin to understand this. And this is awesome. I can't stand with people. Never mind. I need to stop. Romans chapter 11. I'm going to stop because teaching the word of God has to be something that is respected. The internet allows everybody to do it. Okay? You can get an online blog site. You can have your own ministry right there on YouTube. You don't have to get a degree. You don't have any. All you need is a phone and access to YouTube, right? But the Bible gives us rules, and the Bible says that not many are called to do this because it brings a greater judgment on the person that's doing it. So, if God don't call me to do it, I'm not doing it. And I told my brother that for many years. So, what I'm just saying is, someone taught this different, but I kept telling the person, God did not call you to teach the word, okay? This is something that you have to understand the book of Joseph, you have to understand the book of Isaiah, and then after you understand those books and the typologies of those books, now you can go to Romans 11, and then you'll find out. So here we go. We're going to start in verse 11, verse 25. Yes, 25. Now, it says, now, this is Paul, and he's talking to Gentile people. Okay? He's in Rome, and he's talking to these Gentile people. Now, the problem with the Gentile Christians in Rome was this. They had become replacement theology experts. They had figured out in their own mind that God had now chosen the Gentiles over the Jewish people, and now we were God's new people. And so Paul says, no, let me correct you now. Okay? I need that tea, Pastor Ben. I'm sorry. I need that before I read this. Not so much that is this. You don't see this. Okay. You never saw that. Okay. Now, here it is. 11:25. Paul says, I do not want you to be ignorant of this mystery, brethren, so that you might not be conceited. Israel has experienced a hardening in part until the full number of Gentiles come in. Okay? So Paul understands. Paul read Isaiah. He said, listen, the Jews have. Now, if you look at the word hardening here, it means a callous understanding. Okay? They have received a callous to their understanding. They don't understand what's going on yet because God has blinded them. Now, listen to this. Until when? Until the full number of Gentiles. And then it uses the word eschomahi, which means to travel and leave and enter into a city. The word literally means it doesn't. See, you're right. Come in until the fullness of Gentiles come in. And someone said, well, that means when the fullness of Gentiles come into the understanding of Yeshua, then that's when all of this will happen. The word eschomahi has nothing to do with you coming into knowledge. It's a word that denotes people traveling and leaving and entering in. Okay? That's studying, okay? Because this has nothing to do with them coming into knowledge.
Right.
Okay? So until the fullness of the Gentiles, eschomahi, and so All of Israel will be saved as it is written. The deliverer will come out of Zion. Who's the deliverer? Yeshua will come out of Zion. He will turn godlessness away from Jacob. Who's Jacob? Israel. God's going to come and he is going to take the blinder off their eyes, because when he comes, they're going to say, Baruch Abba V'Shem Adonai, and they're going to be singing Hosanna, right? Amen. Come, our King. We now realize that you are our King. And it says, the deliverer will come from Zion, and he will turn godlessness away from Jacob. And this is my covenant with them when I take away their sin. As for the gospel is concerned, they are enemies on your account. But as for the election is concerned, we talk about Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. As for the election is concerned, they are loved on the account of the patriarchs. For God's gifts and his call, his invitation, are irrevocable. So God's promise to them, he's saying, is irrevocable. They are still going to receive their land that I promised them. I am still going to give them salvation. I am still going to multiply them in the land, right? Because he said, I already promised this to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And I'm here to let you know that my gifts and my call is irrevocable. Okay? Just as you who were at one time disobedient to God have now received mercy as a result of their disobedience, so they too have now become disobedient in order that they too may now receive mercy as a result of God's mercy to you. For God has bound all men over to disobedience so that he may have mercy on them all. So everybody that will be a part of Jesus Christ's kingdom and the 1,000-year millennium will be because of Yeshua. Okay? No Gentile who has Yeshua in their life should ever speak a bad thing about the Jewish people. Because unless you have walked in their shoes, you don't know what it's like to be without understanding in the world, but be God's chosen people and be hated by Satan. And many of the people in the world hate you and don't even know why they hate you. White people hate Jews, and I consider Jews to be white. You know what I mean? It's like they don't, you don't hate, the world doesn't hate them because of their skin complexion. The world hates them because they have acknowledged that they are Jews, because Satan hates them.
Yeah.
Okay? Because God has turned them over to disobedience, has turned them over to a lack of understanding. Now he's opened that understanding up to us, and many of us are being born again and enjoying the wonders of understanding who Yeshua is. Do you realize I haven't cursed in so many years I can't even remember? How did that happen? I started cursing at 8. And at 17, when I got saved, I stopped. And then when I backslid, I started back. But now, look, I'm fully delivered, fully redeemed. No marijuana, no woman chaser, no all of this stuff I've been delivered from. Because God blinded a people so bad that they killed my Savior. And so I don't say, you bad Jews, for kids. I say, thank you for doing what God put you here to do. Because without you, the whole world would have died. Without the death of Yeshua on the cross, the whole world dies. Crucify him! Jesus was up there going, yeah. Okay, because remember, the cross was his passion.
Yeah.
It was not the what did the Pope say? The failure of the cross.
Right.
That Pope, whew, when he said that, I was like, ooh, if I was next to him, I'd give him a... Oh, like the failure of the cross. The cross was a victory.
Yes.
To the world, it may look like a failure, but Christ's passion was to grip and to hold on to that cross for us. And it's all told in the story of Joseph, because Joseph is just a movie about Yeshua dealing with his brothers. And now they come back, and every Jew, even his mother and his father, will bow down to Yeshua, because they'll now realize he was not just the son, he was God in the flesh. Okay? So is that it? How much time we have, Pastor Ben?
Well, less than 10 minutes.
Less than 10 minutes? Okay. I want to encourage you guys to do something that's in the front of our book. And this will be a pretty big study, but not big study, but it will help you in understanding the Bible. Let's see. Okay, it's on page 6 of our workbook. It's on page 6 of our workbook, and it's right there, and it says Wisdom in the Hebrew Alphabet by Rabbi Monk. And what Rabbi Monk did, I have the whole book. The whole book is incredible, okay? It gives you the definition of each letter. Okay, and the scriptures. Now, it's written by a Jewish guy who doesn't know Messiah, so he's just giving you the meaning of each letter. Okay, and so as he's giving you the meaning of each letter, you'll be able to see Yeshua in all of the letters. You'll be able to see the crucifixion in all of the letters. You'll be able to see everything in all of the letters. So I want you to go through this and understand each letter. Now, watch this. The Aleph means God the Creator, the King. It also means the ox, which is a burden bearer, right? So he's going to be your burden bearer. He's going to be an ox. He's the Creator God. So the Creator God, Bet, means the house. Gimel means a letter for love and kindness, okay? Delete means the door. Hey means the breath of God. So that's the Spirit of God. Vav means the letter for completion and redemption. So complete redemption is the Vav in 6. Why 6? Because 6,000 is time for the complete redemption. Now, in Zion means rest and sustenance and struggle. So now you have the story in the first 7 letters. God built a house, showed kindness, opened the door. Then sent his Spirit. Then he's going to bring us complete redemption, and then that's going to be our transcendent life through struggle, right? So then the rest of the letters are going to begin to speak to you another story. Hey then begins the new beginning with no counting, and then the Tet and all of these, the objective good and God and all of these things are in the letters. So learn the meaning of the letters so that you'll know that each word is written in the form that it is, because it's telling you a story about who Yeshua is. Okay? I love Hebrew. Ani achava ivrit. Tov mi'od. I am very thankful that you guys are in this class. God put this on our hearts maybe 3 or 4 years back, 17 lessons to teach people not only Hebrew, but also to teach them the Word of God through the perspective of God's eyes. So thank you for joining us today, and I am going to pray us out. And here we go. When you come into the presence of my people, Moses, say unto them, bless my people and say, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Yivarechecha Adonai v'yishmarecha. Yair Adonai panavilecha vechunecha. Ve'yasim Adonai panavilecha ve'yasim l'chai shalom.
And that is it. And Leitriot, Beshavua Chaba. See you next week.